Cultures of Compromise, an interview series conducted during the International Conference History and Theory of Compromise in June 2023, organized by the joint research project Cultures of Compromise. Interview with Dr. Friederike Spang, conducted by Nadine Henn and Andre Wittenbrink.
The International Conference History and Theory of Compromise brings together a wide range of scholars from different disciplines to discuss compromise. With what expectations did you travel to this conference, and were you already able to take away initial insights from your personal research on compromise?
My own research is based in political theory, and I am actually a postdoctoral researcher in a project on political compromises. And for me, this conference was really interesting to attend because I expected it to bring together research in political theory, in political science on compromise, as well as in history, and I think even some cultural approaches as well. And I think this kind of interdisciplinary approach was very enticing, and so far it has been absolutely fulfilled. And I think I could already gain insight in like the more historical approaches on compromise. So I'm already very happy with the results, and the conference is still ongoing, so looking forward to the next panels.
Compromise may not have the best of reputations. Sometimes it's seen as a burden, an unsatisfactory solution, or a failure of original plans. From the perspective of your field of research, what do you think could put compromise in a better light? And are there possible alternatives to regulate conflicts effectively?
That's a very good question, and indeed, compromise is like in the public often perceived in a very negative sense, and I think partially it's rightly so. It's understandable because compromises can be not only hard to make but also be problematic. However, I think it's also important to focus on the positive impacts, and in particular. And here I think really political theory can help us understand better and even, make this positive connotation more well known in the public as well, because we have this distinction in political theory between pragmatic and principled compromises. If you compromise for those pragmatic reasons, it can really be a very good thing because it can, push society forward. And it's also that compromise is usually only a step towards other, solutions, so it's not like an end goal necessarily. And then there is this notion of principled compromise, which means that we compromise because we have principled reasons to do so, so not necessarily because it's pragmatically necessary, but because, let's say, we respect, for example, the other person, and for that reason we compromise with them. And I think this is also a very democratic idea in the end. I would say also falls this idea of reasonable disagreements, so this idea that we can assume that, reasonable people have different views on, especially on, political or moral issues. I think there, as you can see, there are a lot of reasons why compromise can be very positive and should also be considered as such in society.
Could you explain why compromise plays a role for climate policy support and why it is important to consider its role in this context?
My research, however, looks more at the intrapersonal aspect of compromising, and this is a concept of compromise that is less wide known, but I think really crucial to understand. And I look at how people have to compromise within themselves, between principles that they, find important, that are crucial for them, but that cannot be, let's say, simultaneously realized. And then oftentimes the only option is to compromise or to just, withdraw somehow from the situation. But so looking at, for example, a recent study from the OECD, where they have found that, the study was done across 20 countries, and they found that, overwhelmingly there are three principles for people to endorse a climate policy, let's say a carbon tax, for example. And those reasons are, first of all, is it in line with one's self-interest, which is understood primarily in financial terms in the study? Then is it in line with effectiveness considerations? So do I perceive the policy to be effective? And the third one is whether it's in line with one's fairness considerations. And those three together are rather decisive in whether people support concrete climate policies. And What I found interesting to see is that in the study, as such, there is not really much focus on this potential of those principles being in conflict with each other. So I can easily imagine, you know, like someone perceiving a carbon tax to be effective and fair, but, you know, completely against their self-interest because, you know, they drive a lot and it would then, you know, really negatively affect their finances to have higher gasoline prices. So then my argument or my idea is that if this person is then asked to support a climate policy, support a carbon tax, let's say, they have to compromise somehow between those values that they don't see simultaneously realized in the policy, right? In particular, my research looks at two aspects that can influence the willingness to do the direction of those compromises. What kind of emotions do I experience in this context of, you know, climate policy support, and how can that then affect my decision?
How do you think different kinds of emotions could be integrated methodically in a concept of compromise and be part of cultures of compromise?
My impression is that the emotions really play an absolutely crucial role in for willingness to compromise. And as you say, I think there is right now, there's not like a very systemic or like very clear way of integrating them into research. And I think the first step would be to just, you know, get an overview about the emotions that are relevant. For example, I mean, there already is research in psychology on emotions like anger, hatred, contempt, which have been found to make people really unlikely to compromise. So those are called aversive emotions. And in contrast, positive emotions have gained less attention but could also play a crucial role in increasing willingness to compromise, such as hope or enthusiasm. And then, for example, I think a bit surprisingly, emotions like anxiety or fear of this kind of emotion group, they have been found to increase willingness to compromise because it can make people more open-minded.
We thank Friederike Spang very much for her time. If you would like to know more about her research, please follow the link in the introductory note to this interview.